Hey, this is Roberto. You are back with another Steambox podcast. Again, I am coming to you from my group at Highlander. This podcast is the number one podcast in the world in the category of education. And I want to once again congratulate this group, Highlander Charter School, Alvarez High School, and the other schools that we've been working with in Providence, Rhode Island, because you guys are nailing it. I don't know why. We don't even edit. It's a goofy podcast with goofy questions sometimes. But y'all are making it work and people are listening and interested in what y'all have to say. So my homies from Steambox, can you please unmute your microphones and give some energy to the podcast and say what's up?
What's up?
Hi.
Billy is always late and somebody's always doing that old school beer commercial where they're like, what's up? You know what I mean? Today, our guest is Jeremy Costa, who I've gotten to know a little bit from the African-American Ambassadors Council in Providence. Jeremy Costa, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, actually. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. I appreciate that. I feel like I just burnt Sabdiel because that's always Sabdiel's opening question. Sabdiel, my apologies. Jeremy, you wanted to, you and I were talking offline a little bit. And you had some level of working with youth, some level of interest in working with youth, and some level of interest in podcasting. Tell me a little bit more.
Yes. Well, that's basically really the conversation that we had was I wanted to see if I could integrate some of the things that the culture that I've been, working with and trying to, be the voice for them. And try to integrate that with, some type of training, some type of way that they could actually excel in the skills that they already possess, things that they're already interested in, the gaming, the coding, possibly, the podcasting, the video production end of it, the photography, all those things that I think that we, lose focus on because of, the other things that they do. I think we, are quick to look at the first thing that someone does instead of the nine things they do right, and we got to try to change that mentality. So I'm hoping that, working with some groups that actually understand the alternative way of thinking sometimes or the other perspective is important because, where iron sharpens iron, you can kind of learn from those kids. And you find bonds within each other.
Man, I appreciate that. We got a saying in the 90s that was, it's all that in a bag of chips, right? Because all the things that you just mentioned, I think I posted on our social media today, one of our former heroes in the schools who was taking this podcast and interviewing people afterwards and our guests afterwards. And it was just a goofy in-between clips. So yeah, we get on all of those like STEAM and design, kind of fields, but also like we want to follow our dreams through the podcast. So there are members of this group who have interviewed authors from Marvel Comics. We interviewed recently the person who wrote Ready Player One. I don't know if you saw that movie, but that author was with us. We've got we interviewed last year Raheem Megaran. This is a nerdcore rapper, and we've got Samus on our show in a couple of weeks. So they've been following their passions. It's taken them to Japan. They've made milkshakes. They've made Ben and Jerry's ice creams on this podcast. It's weird how this thing will take you to all of your little weird dreams, no matter how stupid, no matter how goofy, no matter how beautiful, no matter how awesome. And I hope that if that's something that you're looking to dive into, we're here. We are not hiding the secret formula from the Krabby Patty people. We are willing to share it. Oh, wait, it's a secret formula. Anyway, I digress. I wanted to ask you a question just to kind of kick it off, and then I want to hand it over to the students for follow-up questions. But we've had a tragedy in we've had among a number of tragedies over the past year. One of the tragedies in Providence in particular was Jamal Gonzalez, right? So a lot of us have seen this video where it looks like he gets run down by a police officer and there's really been no justice, or maybe you could tell me what justice has come of it. And while you're at it, Can you please tell us about bike life, your involvement in bike life, and why we should pay attention to it?
Definitely, definitely. Well, man, definitely no justice in that, you know, case with Jamal Gonzalez, you know. And it's really sad because what that does when you have such an amplified case that was all the way, you know, to the Washington Post, when you have things that have reached the USA Today, and you see that these officers are getting a slap on the wrist for literally violating not only, you know, the ethics codes of their specific organization, but also violating, you know, street laws, violating, you know, to where they were probably practicing a pattern of practice based on the actual type of situation that happened specifically, because they were going after riders that were riding a moped and not an actual ATV and dirt bike. So this was a pattern of practice that they were targeting a specific group of riders. So they had overreached their government jurisdiction of chasing somebody for civil forfeiture. So there are some major repercussions that could come from this still, but there has been no justice.
You say no justice, but wait a second. As far as I know, and I thought I actually heard a report that the police investigated the police and was like, nah, we good, bro. So I thought there was justice.
Yes, and that's the biggest problem, is that that sets the tone. It taints the whole organization. All those, there's 250 officers. Now they're all going to be looked at with this tainted, you know, authoritative figure, where it doesn't create, you know, that camaraderie within your community now, because there's no justice. If you just punish one, then they all feel responsible and they all take on that compassion for that person. They haven't taken any responsibility. They haven't accepted the responsibility that they were the cause and not the sign.
Because what do you think? What do you think needs to happen? And can you give us the latest status update on Jamal Gonzalez, as far as you know?
From my last understanding, to answer the question first, would be he is on his way back to his home for to get care. He is in a mild state. He's still not in a cognitive state, so he's not cognitively, you know, with us right now still, but he is physically alert to certain sensations and things like that. He is, if you want to say, he's in a mild state of a coma. He's not in, he's not cognitive.
Not cognitive for somebody who this tragedy happened to 4 months ago. You know what I mean? And to not be cognitive.
This was our Breonna Taylor here. And we have, and the police force and the community, and they really have dropped the ball, you know, and they could have really took a stand for the community and for the police brutality that is going on here, but they have not. They have decided to kind of wave the hand and was like, you know, they were violating the streets, you know, they were breaking the law, you know, they were doing something, you know, it might have been a social distance, you know, event, but they were still violating the law. And, you know,
let's talk more about violating the law. I want to ask you a point blank question.
Sure.
As a biker myself, right? And by the way, to our audience, I have never talked about this on the podcast. Y'all should know that I'm beaming with pride when I tell you that I got a Suzuki Hayabusa 1300, and she is a badass, and her name is Battle Cat. That is my baby. But as somebody who rides, right, as a rider, I am comfortable knowing that I'm not going to be chased, right? Like, I feel like oftentimes I'm chased because I'm Puerto Rican, right? And what my car looks like and all this other stuff. And I get stopped all the time, especially in East Providence. But on my motorcycle, I'm comfortable that I'm not going to be chased, because they're not supposed to chase bikers, right? Because there's been so many incidents. So is that what you're talking about? But then also, the point blank question is, if they did not pursue him, if the cops were not chasing him, would he still be having a regular life today?
That's really that's really the bottom line, you know, and that's really where we have to take a look at this, where there's a huge government overreach, where if they were not given the power, if they were not given the ability to enforce unconstitutional law to not only to take the bike, and I need to use the particular words, not only to forfeit the bike, confiscate the bike, but to destroy it. If they didn't have that in place, that forces them to flee. Nobody is going to give up, you know. That's like somebody saying, look, man, those comic books that you have there, you know, there's a level of violence in there, and we're going to have to take those from you, you know, because those things are causing other people to, you know, act in a certain way now. And because you possess these are, you know, and so they take them and they burn them, you know, and you're like, hold on a second. I had these comic books for 20 years. Like, this is a collector's item. And you just burnt my, you just made a public display of burning my bike. I mean,
is that taunting? Are they taunting the community by wrecking those vehicles?
I truly feel like it was a calculated move. Like, you know, nothing happened before that weekend. You know, 7 days before he had that public display of intimidation, and then they put in the speed bumps, then they put in, you know, this task force together. They weaponized their vehicles. They put brush guards on their vehicles, all of them. And they created a task force, and they were practicing pit maneuvers, you know, clearly, you know, throughout the whole ride. This was not the only time that these gentlemen actually came into contact. Seven other people. No one's listening to the actual press conference. They're focusing on the 300 riders that might have been in the street. They're not focusing on the actual aggression that these 25 riders that were tasked at the job to try to stop this from happening. There were 25 other riders that had, I mean, meaning police officers that had body cameras that are not being associated with this case yet. And those things are going to be brought up for the Department of Justice, because you sued the Department of Justice in 2017 because you weren't getting the funds to actually use the equipment that you still don't use today. So I'm going to make sure that the Department of Justice says, look, they sued Central Falls, and Mr. Miro Lorza himself said that I'm not going to pull people over for crimes because, you know, we have a job to do and we got to worry about serious crimes. But then you put a hotline and a task force together that force these guys to flee. So you're forcing them to commit a felony. And now you're saying that every seller of these bikes are abetting in a crime because they're forcing this gentleman to actually commit a crime if he rides that bike on the streets. And you know that. So who's at fault here? You know,
I am at this moment, separately from your last comment, at fault for not getting to youth yet. And I apologize to the youth here. I just want to quickly, one more time, you agree that he would be living a normal life right now today if he wasn't pursued by the cop? And also, can you quickly please tell me about bike life?
Yes, 100%. I agree. Yes, he would definitely be here today living a normal life, doing the things that we are doing, maybe actually being a part of, you know, one of these wonderful podcasts, or maybe, you know, giving somebody instruction on how to actually, you know, pop a wheelie and the actual physics behind it all. And maybe doing a showcase for some of these small businesses in the area that are looking to take it outdoors and maybe keep their customer outside or in their vicinity longer to spend more money at a longer period of time. So all these things are what bike life is all about. And that's what Jamal was. He was one of those people that was able to, if you've seen some of the work that I've done before, when we did a race to register, he was one of those people that would come in to the parking lot and do an exhibition on his vehicle of choice. If it was the dirt bike, a moped, a four wheeler, a street bike, you know, he was very creative. He was an artist. He was an athlete. And he was able to do these tricks on, you know, like a stunt person would. And, you know, I believe that this is something that's going to become a sport like breakdancing in the next 10 to 15 years. That's how creative this sport is, you know. And, you know, for us to deny the opportunity to these youth to be able to do something that they love, to be able to create a bike and to be able to transform that bike into something creative, and then to snatch it away because you don't understand that culture, really burns me up. You know, it really, you know, gets to me.
Same, man. Me too. And I think it's awful that there hasn't been justice. I think it's awful that we can't have justice. And I don't know if we need to have you back already, but I can't wait to have conversations with you about Liebor and about the joy that some of these people bring when it's perceived chaos, as it's reported by certain news sites. But I want to get to some of the students. This is their show, and I've hogged up too much of it, and I apologize. Sabdiel, can you hit us off, please?
Yeah, that's fine. I personally don't know too much about the information of this crash. You guys seem very intrigued on the conversation. But, you know, I am from DR, so I know a lot about bikes. So I wanted to ask you, what's your bike preference, man? You like a naked, like a chopper?
Do you even ride? We haven't.
Ride.
Yes, actually, I haven't been able to ride as much as I would like to. But yes, I actually ride. You know, from the pedal bikes, I ride, I've ridden a lot of street bikes before, but, I actually like the scooters myself. I'm like, you know, I like the Zoomers. I like to, you know, just kind of cruise and take the film of all the creativity that I surround myself around. I just like to cruise and just kind of catch the air. And so, you know, it really depends on the type of day or the type of crowd. I might pop up in a slingshot. I might pop up in a T-Rex. You know, it all depends on, you know, who's doing the pass off for that specific day or whatever. But it varies, man. But I just love the atmosphere, really, more than anything else.
I had gotten ahead of myself. Sabdiel, did you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
Oh, no. Simple question. Jahel can go next.
It was dope. I appreciate that. Because that's one of the things that we talked about earlier. And I was like, yo, I don't even know. I don't know enough. So I'm happy that you asked that. One of the reasons that you're on the show, Jeremy, is because Yanhel has exhibited a lot of passion for social justice in his community. Amazing. In Providence. Yanhel, what do you want to ask Jeremy?
What is your favorite type of pizza?
My favorite type of pizza would have to be pineapple. I would have to say pineapple.
All right, Mr. Gonzalez, I'm going to have to leave. I can't believe I heard that answer. I'm sorry.
You heard. Yeah, man. Pineapple,
I
man.
I hate pineapple. I hate it so much.
How do you hate pineapple? Man, SpongeBob lives in a pineapple, man. Why you hating on
SpongeBob
pineapple?
SpongeBob is a different character.
Jeremy, if you think you're getting roasted for pineapple now, wait until Isaiah's question, man. Our jealous is back. Right now, Argelis, can you jump in and ask your question?
My question is, if a hot dog is a taco.
Man, you're doing two with the food, back-to-back food questions? I'm going to leave Sabdiel all the questions from now on. Argelis asks if a hot dog is a taco.
I don't think a hot dog could be a taco. I've never seen a hot dog taco before, but I would like to see... I would like to see that because I believe that, I don't know, I'm a taco person, so I'm not really down with a hot dog. So I don't know, I haven't seen that. I don't think so.
I'm passing it back to Sabdiel for a follow-up, and then I'm going to Billy. Sabdiel.
Yeah, I'm reading a little bit more into the incident. I got a question for you. You think the incident that happened with the cops, with the, you know, scooter and everything, you think is racially motivated by the cops of Providence? Or do you think it was, you know, foul play by the cops?
Specifically for that altercation, I mean, for that incident, I believe that it's all racially motivated. To be honest with you, I just think that that's an accumulation, and that just happens to be, you know, the that was, like I said, that was our, you know, George Floyd incident. There, it's. This has been a pattern of practice. This was not the first time that they came into a halt or where they actually put their hands on those riders without true constitutional right to do so. So I really believe that, yes, it was racially motivated. Yeah.
You brought up George Floyd, and in one of the many protests that followed, I remember distinctly this video of a Boston police officer walking up to another Boston police officer and boldly bragging about how he was running down some of the protesters who were in the road. Like, oh, did you see that, man? I took the car and just hit these guys and ran them over. And here's the thing. When people say all police officers, this guy didn't care. He was in earshot of other police officers. None of the police officers are putting him in check. The only thing that put that police officer in check was the police officer that he was talking to saying, hold up, my video thing is on. You shouldn't be talking about this right now. And then they start to backtrack and stuff like that. So this is like an all officer kind of thing. And to the racially motivated question, which I think is a beautiful question, Sabio, thank you for bringing that up because I think it's important. I would say that Warrack is not being run off the road anywhere, you know what I mean, in West Warwick, and neither are kids in Barrington or some of the other stuff. And you would think that maybe they don't have parades of ATVs going up the streets, but I've been there, man, and they got their own like hood rat stuff to work through in some of the white neighborhoods, and this is not happening in the white neighborhoods. This specifically happens in the BIPOC.
Yeah, that is true. You know, in Broad Street, before this incident happened, there's always bikers running around Broad Street being very hazardous to the people, which I don't agree on. People can protest. I don't care if they protest. But when I protest about something, I make sure, you know, I have the full grasp of the information. You know, I don't want to believe that it was racially motivated because it's awful to think that we still live in a society like that. I always give the benefit of doubt to both parties. But, you know, it could just be that, you know, I personally have experience with the bikers themselves. Not all of them are bad. I'm a biker myself. I don't have a scooter, which I really want to have, but yeah, I don't know, man. It seems like what happened is really awful, and I hope he just, you know, he didn't die like that.
Sabdiel, no, and he hasn't. Sabdiel, that was a beautiful question. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate these questions. I really appreciate Jeremy being here. This is opening up a lot of things, but one of the things we talked about offline before Jeremy came on is Steambox moving into the realm of mental wellness and social emotional wellness. And that's, even though STEAM is our bag, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, the reason we have to cover so much social emotional wellness is right now we are hurting so bad, not only from isolation from this pandemic, but looking at situations like these and watching the videos like the one I just described about that officer blatantly talking about it, like my young people really look at this stuff and feel like, wow, they hate me. They hate me just because of the color of my skin. They hate me just because of where I'm from. It's a horrible feeling, and I'm hoping that we can rebound and in spite of all this bullshit that's out there, find our wellness. And I promise I'm working with you on that. And Jeremy's working with it too, because Jeremy's exhibited a lot of interest in the very few conversations that he and I have had offline. Billy, what's your question?
Hi. My question is, who has inspired you the most throughout your life?
That's a great question, Billy. Great question. I would say that I would say that T.I. probably. T.I.
We're talking about the rapper.
Yeah. I did. You know, I actually, you know, like many other people have fallen, you know, victim and have also made some mistakes. And, you know, when I got an opportunity to work with him, you know, I got to have some really good conversations. And then, you know, he really put me on track to, you know, focus on what was important. And, you know, I was kind of lost a little bit. So I would say probably T.I.
Billy set it up. So like, you guys are getting so good at this, because knowing that Isaiah is next, it's a perfect transition. Isaiah, ask your question.
Hi, sir. Who do you think, what's your opinions on Drake?
My opinions on Drake, being in the music industry for a long period of time, he is one of the artists, I'm probably the top five that you would probably name that I have not met. So I really can't make a personal opinion based off of who he is, because he's one of the people, you know, if you said Jay-Z, if you said 50 Cent, if you said, you know, Snoop, if you said, you know, The Game, if you said, you know, Future, I've met all those people. But since Drake, I can't really, but I think he's a very gifted, talented orchestrator. I don't know if he's written all his music like some of those other artists that I've met before, but I would say that, you know, he's definitely talented.
Regardless. I think you just described a life, the life of Riley, right? Like you just described this amazing life that you get to chill with all of the people that these people admire. How, dog? Like how?
Yeah, how?
I was, you know, like you guys, you know, I was not growing up in an environment that was going to possibly, you know, bring me down through, you know, traditional college. You know, after my sophomore year in college, I decided to get into radio broadcasting and get into entertainment. I became a big club promoter. And then I just wanted it more. I didn't just want to be a club promoter. I wanted to do events and I wanted to, you know, do different things. So when I started calling booking agencies and different, you know, if you want to say talent management companies, I just ended up meeting them. And then, you know, they were profitable when I brought them to town. So it became easier for me to start working with them because I was, you know, employing them as my employee, you know, basically for that specific day or for that weekend. And, you know, just became second nature, you know, to kind of want to be around that type of atmosphere. Because
you're talking about Providence?
Providence and New York and Boston. And I was just looking at one of the flyers I did. I did the Tom Brady Super Bowl party from his first Super Bowl. I did with Lawyer Malloy and Ty Law. I was just looking at the Players Ball on February 3rd, like the event that would be coming up. It would be his anniversary. It was amazing. We did Tom Brady. We did about 750 people in a matter of like an hour and a half.
No, I can't wait to talk more with you about this. I used to promote, we seem similar generations. Yeah. So I used to promote in Providence and Boston. My favorite, I've got stories about people that I didn't like and didn't like working. I didn't like the life. But my favorite was I threw this pajama party in Boston that covered, like, it went across Emerson, Smith, all this stuff. 99-ish.
Definitely the same time, man.
Yo,
definitely
man.
Time. All my
sorry. I'm hijacking the podcast. To get but we got a chat. Like,
I had a clothing store in Boston on Blue Hill Avenue, 1140 Blue Hill Avenue. I was doing. If you see some of the Benzino stuff that I used to do, I still to this day, Big Cap. I was, you know, I was doing the promoter that brought 50 Cent down here all the time, and you know, I brought Jadakiss and Eminem. I was an urban director at 91.5 WBI in Bridgewater. I worked with David Cerisi, Linda Dawson, you know, Buck, Benny, you know, Jenny Boom at 106.3 when they were at Back Bay Broadcast. And I used to do a lot of different stuff, man. Production director.
I was on ERS and I got into a fist fight with Case, the singer.
I know Case.
Yeah, man.
We just had him at the club in Boston. I mean, down in Atlanta, like 4 weeks ago. Like 4 weeks ago, we were doing this thing called the Real Live Music Experience. That's what I was doing for T.I. I
did. And I'll fist fight him again.
That's fun.
This is fun. We definitely need a sequel. We need a sequel. Jeannie, what do you have?
Well, I love bikes. And right now I'm at a point in my life where I'd rather be a passenger than driving a bike. But I also have a family that works in healthcare. My husband's a respiratory therapist. And takes care of people like Jamal once they come in on that end. And, you know, Jeremy, you talked about biking being art. This type of biking definitely is art. It's athleticism, it's gymnastics. How can we have conversations in the community to prevent that this never happens again? I think it's everything about it is awful, but what do we do going forward? I mean, you have we were talking earlier, basketball courts, you have gymnasiums, you have skateboard parks.
May I? Because that's great. And that's a segue. And I didn't want to not be able to talk about this. So I'm so happy that you brought that up. And Jeannie, please jump in if I jumped in too early
and
cut something out. Yeah, she brings up, I have seen an interest from you in developing a space specifically for these riders. And I feel like we still need to do more justice for promoting bike life on this podcast. And then one more thing, when Jeannie's talking about the conversation to repair these things and make it better, not only tell us more about your vision for space, but also I'd like to remind the world that I got to know you on the African American Ambassadors Council. Sometimes it's frustrating, but sometimes I feel like we are getting some dope work done. And I got to tell you, I feel like people keep missing when the mayor is bringing up something really subliminal and saying Leobor, 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 Leobor. Now, everybody, here's what that stands for. The Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights. And that's the answer to a lot of these questions. If we can attack their Bill of Rights, then we might be able to see some justice on this matter. And I feel like we're approaching it from the wrong angle sometimes. So Jeremy, can you tell me about your experience with Bike Life, the African American Ambassadors Council, and your vision for that park? Because I feel like a lot of that comes back to Jeannie.
Yes, great question, Jeannie, by the way. And it's nice to have, the balance on this, Zoom call here. But my experience with the American Ambassador Group has been, a learning experience. I've had to learn, how to control my voice affliction, my tone.
I don't always.
But I've had to learn how, collaboratively to work in a virtual space, and being able to wait your turn and allow people to, voice their perspective or their opinion. So it's been a very different experience than what I'm used to. But I hope that the success that people assume that they see actually turns into something tangible. I'm into tangible like benefits for our community right now. And I'm into tangible results. I've seen a lot of the people, have great intention. I was always one that had great intention, and it was very difficult for me to kind of execute, and to finalize the things in life, because I was swept away. But most importantly, I think that there's a lot of potential because there's a lot of talent inside that African American Ambassadors Group. There's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of creativity, and there's a lot of intention. I just want to see unity, and that I think is going to be a hard thing to come across, because I think it's such a small place, being Rhode Island, that everybody wants to kind of be the one that's making it happen. And when you have all these people that are, trying to make it happen in different directions, it's slow progress, And so I hopefully, we come up with some tangible things that, like you said, Leobor is a very serious issue. And I think that we bounce around the issue so much. And if we could just focus on the fundamentals of it, the main cause of it, I think that we can break all those other prisons that we keep ourselves in and that we have got put in. And that is, if we go after qualified immunity, I think if we, maybe get these,
absolutely,
if we get rid of qualified immunity, and there's three bills that I keep on being redundant about, and that's the Emmett Till bill, that's the John Lewis bill, and the George Floyd bill. Those three bills will basically give us the precedence to be able to make sure that these people wear their body cameras, to make sure that these officers are responsible for their actions, and will take away the powers that have limited us from having that equal opportunity. So that's important.
If people want to see more, I'm losing, students are starting to drop because they're running to their next class. I have the luxury of being able to record this during class, which is an extreme privilege. Thank you, students, for joining us. If students want to learn more, Jeremy, about your initiatives, what website should they go to?
Sure. They can go to BikeLifeLivesMatter.org. We are a, you know, domestic nonprofit. We haven't figured out if we're going to actually be a government, you know, 501c3 yet, if, you know, based on, we are a small, if you want to say, organization. Our EIN numbers actually will be up on our website this week, and we will be very transparent to the community so they can see exactly, you know, what we do and how we actually look to become an advocate for this social injustice.
Bike Life Lives Matter. All right. I suggest that everybody check it out. This has been one of my favorite super powerful discussions. Thank you, Highlander students, for joining us. This has been another Steambox podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeremy.
Yes, thank you.